in this text called Kaivalya Upanishad. Kaivalya means the oneness. And Upanishad is the highest knowledge. And after having talked to us about the technique of meditation and the goal of meditation, the teacher is now telling us the real nature of the meditator. Who am I really? And even though these ideas and verses are repeated, the teacher is giving us different perspectives to look at the same view, just as when you go to the studio, the photographer might take different sides, a profile, front and all, and then give you a collage so you can see, oh, how I look from here, how I look from here, and how beautiful I am. So similarly, this teacher is now giving us a collage to see myself as all of these variety of things. Because in the 16th verse and the 17th verse, the teacher said, you are that consciousness, because everything emerged from that consciousness. And we'll go into more detail in today's verse as to how I can be that consciousness. How can I, the limited individual, be that total consciousness? So more details are being given in verse number 19. It's on page 69. मय्येव सकलं जातम् मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम् मयि सर्वं लयं याति तद्ब्रह्माद्वयम् Asmyaham. So mai eva, in me alone, sakalam jatam. All this is born from me alone. All. This whole universe is born from me. Who says that? We'll come to it. Mai sarvam pratishthitam. In me, all this stays. All this is established in me. Mai sarvam layam yati. And in me, this whole thing goes back into dissolution. Who is saying that? The meditator. The meditator is saying, in me arises this whole universe. In me is the universe sustained. And in me, the universe merges back and dissolves. Why? Tad brahma advayam asmiham. He says, I am that non-dual consciousness, reality, and in me this whole universe is arising. It sounds like a very egotistical statement, because this meditator is sitting under a tree somewhere in the Himalayas, and he says this whole universe, including Venus and star, he says, yep, everything arises in me, everything is sustained by me, and everything merges back into me, because I am that non-dual Brahman. So it's a very interesting statement. So let us see it from some different perspectives. So here we have a few points where it says, starts with saying, everything is me. Everything is me. So first we'll talk about cause and effect. Now, the effect is in the cause. The cause is nothing but the effect modified. That is the theory of cause and effect. Like there is a piece of mud, big ball of mud, which is brown, which is colorless, shapeless. And from that you make different parts. You make a blue, beautiful blue pot with gold trim, and then you make a yellow cup, then you make a saucer, then you make, which is matching, and then you make a huge vase, and then you make a flower pot, and then you make a water pot. Everything you make, a jug, from that part mass of clay. Now it may look different. The mass of clay is brown. The one looks blue with the gold trim. One looks yellow, green, different shapes, sizes, color, different names, different forms. The name and form may be different, but what is the essence of all of them is clay. Clay alone has become all of these. It's not that it is something different, but clay has been modified changed appears different, but it is nothing but clay and clay alone appearing as all different forms. That is clear, right? So what is the effect? Is effect is nothing but the cause in different shape and different form, name and different appearance. So that is one. So the cause and effect. And if from the effect you remove the cause, nothing remains. So from the saucer you remove mud, clay, what remains? Nothing. From that big jug, the beautiful colorful blue jar with the gold trim, you remove the mud, you remove the clay, what happens? The jar disappears. So the effect is nothing but the cause in a different shape and form, and from the effect when you remove the cause, nothing remains. Like gold ornaments, from gold ornaments if you remove gold, it's nothing, it's valueless. So that is number one, that is the first principle we need to understand today. The second principle is the principle of ocean and the wave. So what happens is, now in the wave, there are in the ocean there are millions of waves rising, falling, constantly rising, falling, rising, falling, rising, falling. And the ocean says, from me arise all the waves. Agreed. All the waves are sustained by me, says the ocean. And when the waves end, they merge back into me. Nobody has any challenge with that. We agree with that. Now suppose from the ocean there are constantly waves coming out, coming out, coming out, coming out, arising. Does the ocean get any less? If the waves keep on coming, do the is the ocean subtracted? Is it getting less? No. Like from me, suppose I have $100 and everybody keeps taking $1, $1, $1, $1, eventually I'll be left with $0. But here from the ocean, so many waves come out, but the ocean remains the same. Why? Because the ocean, the waves come out, are sustained in the ocean and merge back into the ocean. The waves come back into the ocean. Does the ocean become bigger and say, oh, I have got all these waves? No. They came from me, they were sustained by me, and they merged back into me. So the ocean neither gets less when the waves arise, neither gets more when the waves merge back. Wave is nothing but a modification of ocean. Ocean is appearing as waves, it appears as whirlpool, it appears as, you know, springs, it appears as different froth and foam and all that, just as the mud appears as different parts. Gold appears as different ornaments, so wave of ocean appears as different waves. So that is the second principle. So the ocean is appearing as the wave. And all waves arise from the ocean will say, I am the king, I am the God, I am God. From me, just as God will say, I am God, and from me arise all human beings, all the planets, all the plants, the birds, the fish, everything arises from that one Brahman consciousness, and everything are, like we all arose from that, we are sustained in that consciousness, and at the time of death we will go back into that just as the waves go back. So that is concept number two. Concept number three is me and thoughts. Now when I am sitting alone and I'm thinking, now thoughts may arise and we label them as good thoughts or bad thoughts. Suppose a good thought arises, the thought of God or thought of love. You say, I am such a good person, I love everybody. And then a thought of anger or hatred or jealousy, I am such a bad person, I don't love anybody. So I label myself good or bad based on my thoughts which arise from me. But if I apply the same principle that I support the thoughts, where did the thought arose? Arose in my own mind. It's not that somebody else came from somewhere and put a thought into, yeah, sometime an idea may come, but ultimately the thought that arises, arises from my own mind. And who sustains it? The consciousness. If I am not alive, the thought will not be sustained. If I am dead, or if I'm in deep sleep, or if I'm in a coma, if I'm in anesthesia, if I'm drugged, then there won't be any thoughts. So only when I'm awake or when I'm dreaming, the thoughts are created in my mind. So I create the thoughts, I sustain the thoughts, and then the thoughts merge back into me. They do not go anywhere else, they merge back into me. So just as the ocean does not get less or more with the rise and fall of thoughts, I do not get any less or more with the rise and fall of thoughts. So I have to see that thoughts may arise, they may be good or bad, but I should not label myself good or bad. I should say all thoughts arise from me, they are sustained in me and they merge back into me. The moment I do that, the thought loses its hold on me. If I say I am the thought, oh, I am such a bad person, why do I get such bad thoughts? Or I am such a good person, I get good thoughts, but he doesn't. So then I am labeling myself good or bad. But if I say I am that consciousness, that entity, and in me, in my mind, the thoughts arise, let them arise. The psychiatric problems, most of the stress happens because we get so identified with the thoughts, and then I am so stressed out, oh, this person is stressing me out, you know. If only this person was not in my life would be fine. So I get stressed because of this person, or this situation, or this happening, or this situation. So thoughts will have their hold on you when you identify yourself with the thoughts. If you say, I am a witness of the thoughts, just as the waves arise in the ocean and merge back, nothing happens to the ocean. So similarly, thoughts will arise. I watch them. Okay, thought has arisen, an angry thought has arisen. Why is there angry thought? Because somebody said something to make me angry. So my mind got angry but disturbed, but I did not, because I am just the support of the thought. I am not become the thought. If I become an angry person, then I will be upset. Oh, I am such an angry person. I am so mad. I am so angry because this person said that or did that. But if I say I am that, in me this angry thought is arising, watch it. Okay, there is a reason and it will die down after a while. I should not have got angry. You know, it's not a right thing to do. So when I identify with the thought as good or bad, that's when the thought has its hold on me. When I say that the thought is, I am the support of the thought, just the ocean is not affected by the waves. I am not affected by the rising and falling of thoughts. I am unaffected like the ocean. And the thoughts are just a modification of my mind. And that is the understanding. That is number three. Then the concept comes that in this world we go through three states, and we know that. We are awake, then you know you might go into a dream, and then you go into deep sleep. And then again, before you wake up in the morning, you may have a dream, and then the dream ends in the waking state. So we go through that every day. We are awake, dream, deep sleep, and so on. This is a constant change. And most of us live in these three states. So this alone is reality. You know, this living world, what I see is real. Then there is a dream world which I create out of my own thoughts and out of my own experiences. And then there is a world of deep sleep where I don't have any experience. But the masters, the spiritual masters tell us there is a fourth state called the state of realization, which in Sanskrit is called the Turiya. So this is Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupta, and then Turiya. Turiya is the fourth state, the state of realization, which is none of these three. And that is a state of awakening. Just as from the dream you wake up to this waking world, and when you wake up, then the dream world disappears. Right? When I'm awake, I'm not dreaming. Not only that, but nothing from the dream world I can bring into the waking state. Say I'm a very poor person, I'm a beggar, and I dream that I'm a king, and I'm sitting in a palace, and there's all these servants, and I have this in my treasury, thousands of gold coins. I'm such a rich king. You know, the beggar is dreaming that. Now, when he wakes up, can he bring those gold coins from the dream and spend it in the waking state? He can't. He may have a million gold coins. But when he wakes up as a beggar. He doesn't get any of those gold coins. So, and also from the waking state, you cannot transfer into the dream. You cannot take stuff from the waking state into the dream. And you cannot bring dream to the waking state. There is a watertight compartment. That is the truth. So similarly, when you wake up to that fourth state of realization, nothing of this world can go into that fourth state. So for a master, this whole world becomes like a dream. Just as when I wake up from the dream loses its hold on me. For the realized master, even the waking world becomes like a dream. It does not mean that he does not function in the world. It does not mean that he becomes useless. But for him, the waking world has as much importance as a dream had for me. When I wake up, I tell my wife or my husband, you know, I had a dream and this thing happened. And then the wife will tell the husband, in the dream, you know, I saw you were doing this. You were out with some girl. Who was this girl? What were you doing? He said, I was nowhere. I was sleeping in my bed next to you. No, but in the dream, it looks very real. But when you wake up, you realize it was just a figment of my imagination. So for a master, when he wakes up, he realizes that this world is a dream. And he continues to function in the world without giving too much importance. So that is the fourth state, and that is the state we have to reach. And then we will just go to the story, the beggar story of God is not far, and then we'll come back to the whole world is me. So we think of God as being somebody far away, you know, somebody living in heaven or above the clouds or in the church or the temple. But the masters tell us that God is not only outside in heaven, in above the clouds, but he's there in all trees, he's there in all plants, birds, animals, he's there in all humans, and he's there in me as life. But not knowing that the Almighty Lord is in me and he is the source of all the joy, we beg for joy from the world. Oh world, please give me a little joy. Please give me a little love. Please give me a little money. Please give me a little happiness. There's a story about a beggar. And it said that this beggar used to beg every day. He used to sit in one street corner. And he used to sit on this old chest, you know, like a chest, like a, you know, like a trunk made out of wood. And he had put a blanket on it, and he would sit there every day. And he would beg for money. That was his whole livelihood. From till he was young, till he became old, he would sit there and beg. And, you know, people would pass and somebody would feel sorry for him, give him a few pennies. Somebody would curse him. You know, you are such a healthy guy. Why are you begging? That's all you do. Somebody would curse him. Somebody would feel sorry for him if it was too hot and raining. And mud was falling and he looked so miserable. Somebody felt sorry and gave him, you know, a few pennies or a few, you know, dollars. And so he spent his whole life begging, you know, living a life of joy and sorrow. Someday he got a lot of money, a little money. So he was happy. Okay, today I can eat. And someday he didn't get any money. Then he said, today I can't eat anything. You know, he has to sleep hungry. So joys and sorrows, you know, minor little joy. And then he would go home and say, today nobody gave me any money. And he would go to sleep hungry. And so happened he got old and died. Now when he died, he actually died right at that spot, you know, where he was begging. He suddenly got a heart attack and he just keeled over and died. And so people came, oh, what happened? And they tried to revive him, but he was far gone. The ambulance came, he was already dead. So they took him to the morgue, to the hospital, and then to the morgue. And then they said, you know, this blanket, so they picked it up. They said, we need to throw it, it's trash, it's old. And they said, then there was this chest and it was heavy. So they said, what is this chest? Where did he get it from? So they said, we don't know. He always had it. He always used to sit on it. And so they said, really? It looks very heavy. So they opened and there was a lock and they broke it and they forced it open. It was a very old chest looking ugly. And when they opened, they found it was full of gold and silver and jewels. How this beggar had got it, where he got it, and he himself did not know. The beggar himself, if he had known, he wouldn't be begging. So apparently he had found this chest somewhere and he placed it there and he was begging on it. And he spent his whole life begging for happiness from others, begging for money from others, food from others, if he had. So sitting on this chest of gold, he actually suffered. So similarly, you and I are like that beggar because we have the Lord in us. We have the Lord who is total love and compassion and joy and peace and happiness. But not realizing that, we are begging for happiness from the world. You know, give me a little love, give me a little money, give me a little fame, give me a little prestige, you know, give me this, give me that. You know, we are begging, give me a job, give me a contract. So we are begging from the, not that we shouldn't work in the world, but we should not work out of incompleteness, that by getting this I'll become complete, or I'm, you know, begging. Yes, I am complete because I am that infinite consciousness. Lord is in me. Lord is not outside somewhere. The source of love and happiness and joy is all within me. And what they say, that from time to time, when you are getting stressed, or even when you're not getting stressed, throughout the day, take a moment and go inward and say, okay, the Lord is within me. The Lord is all peace. The Lord is all love. He's all compassion. And I am love. I am compassion. Immediately your mind becomes very quiet. The moment you do that, even if you do it for a second right now, just close your eyes and just go inward and feel the Lord's presence. Instantly you feel peace, isn't it? So do that throughout the day. What you have just done for a few moments, do that throughout the day. Just take a few seconds out. Anytime you remind yourself, I am that consciousness, I am that peace, I am that joy. The moment you turn inward, you will experience that. So we have that treasure within us, underneath us. We are sitting on that treasure like that beggar, but we are begging for happiness. So find the happiness within. And then you don't need to get happiness from the world. Such a person who has realizes the whole world is me. Now, how can the whole world be me? I am just limited, 5'6", 140 pounds. How can this whole universe be me? So the example which we have done before, which I will repeat, the wave and the ocean. Let's come back again to the wave and the ocean. Now the wave says, I am a little wave. The ocean is God, and ocean created me, ocean sustained me, ocean maintained me, and I die back into the ocean. Yes, that is true. So wave is little and ocean is God. So similarly, I am little and God is big. Now that is clear. But suppose we ask the wave, you are not the wave, what are you? You are what? He says, I am water. I am water. Don't say wave, what are you really? I am water. Okay, waves, you are water, yes. Now you go ask the ocean, what are you? Ocean says, I am the mighty ocean. I am God, I created all these waves. They say, no, we are not asking you what are you really? So ocean says, really, I am water. Ocean is water. And you ask the wave, what are you? Wave is water. So wave is water and ocean is water. So what happens? We are one. The wave is the same as the ocean from the point of water. As the wave, of course, the wave is tiny, the ocean is huge. The wave is temporary, the ocean is permanent. But when the wave says, I am water, and ocean says, I am water, then we are one. So similarly, at this moment, I think myself to be this body, mind, and intellect. But this whole universe, where did it come from? It came from that spirit that we call Brahman or consciousness. So everything came from that consciousness. So how can I be separate? Just as all waves came from the ocean, and they are all water, the essential nature. So similarly, my name and form may be Anil or Sanjay or, you know, whatever. It may be male or female, young or old. But the reality of me is that consciousness, which is one. There is only one consciousness in all trees, birds, plants, fish, humans. All animals, everything is that one consciousness. So shift your attention from the name and form to the essence, just as the wave shifts its attention from the wave to the water. Then what happens when I'm water? Whether the wave is born or died, nothing happens to the water. The water is not born or dead. The wave may be born or dead, but the water remains the same. So similarly, this body may die, this mind may change, this intellect may perish. But I, the consciousness, the spirit, is eternal. Nothing happens to me. So that understanding should come. Just as once the wave says, I am water, whether the wave form dies or not, nothing happens to me. I am water. Nothing happens to water. So we also have to say that I am not this body, mind, intellect, but I am that spirit. And in me, this body, mind, and intellect is arising. Not only that, once I am spirit, all beings are arising in me. Just as when the wave says, I am water, Then he says, all waves arise in me. As water, every wave arises in me, right? So similarly, as the spirit or the whole universe arises in me, that is the understanding in meditation. And what happens to such an individual? He develops a feeling of oneness, of universal love. Because just as the wave may be competing with other waves, this is a bigger wave and I'm a smaller wave, and I should become a bigger wave, I should fight with that wave, all that competition. But when the wave says, I am water, all waves are me, then there is universal love for all waves because they are all me. So that's what happens to these saints and great prophets. They remain one with all. They develop a universal love, non-dual, because they are all me. And then they do not get disturbed by fluctuations of the body, being born or died, mind being sorrowful or happy, intellect being disturbed. That state of undisturbed peace and silence comes in an individual who discovered, just as when you all, for a few seconds, you closed your eyes and you went inward, you experienced that inner peace. But the realized saints experience it all the time because they all the time live in that state. You and I, maybe at certain moments, we may experience it. So in meditation, I slowly transfer my attention from the body, mind, and intellect to that inner spirit, that inner consciousness. And as you keep studying these scriptures, as you practice it in your daily life, as you meditate, this becomes a permanent feeling of oneness. Then they do not get disturbed. They do not get disturbed from that state of equilibrium, that state of joy, that state of happiness, that state of peace. And permanent peace can only come from permanent things. Temporary objects may give me some joy, buy a new piece of jewelry, buy a new car, new golf club, gives me little joy. Some emotion, little joy, somebody loves me, I have a little success, but that is all temporary. You want permanent joy? Find it within. Just as that beggar, he had that source of joy, but not knowing it, he died miserable. And that is what happens to most of us. We die miserable and suffering, not knowing that the source of joy is within. So that is the essence of this verse. It's a little difficult verse to understand, but the ideas will be repeated more and more in the next few weeks. So hopefully it will become clearer. I myself am learning so much by, trying to prepare for it. So it helps me also. Any questions, any comments?
No, the idea of taking it like a one minute every hour while you're awake and kind of telling yourself who you really are, that does calm you down.
Definitely.
Yeah. Just if you did 1 minute every hour.
Right. Whenever you think about it.
Yeah.
As often as you can. Yeah, that's very good. If you can do that, maybe have every hour on the hour, a little alarm or something, just to remind yourself, and then just spend a moment. That's very good.
In a pharmacy, we deal with so many patients.
Right.
And there are sometimes situation arises, and by just going in the back and just say, okay, I'm just going to take a 1 minute break.
Right.
And say, hey, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, hey, I'm a peaceful soul. So then, whatever the situation is,
right,
it kind of sort of
right,
disappears.
No, absolutely. If you can take a moment, a physician was telling me yesterday, we have a study group, and he was telling me that a very angry patient called, and he was yelling at the staff, and I want to talk to the doctor, I'm very angry for some reason. And the physician says, I could have reacted, but he said, I just for a moment, he said, wait, let me make myself peaceful. So he did exactly the same thing. Just sat down for a minute or two, made himself calm, and then very calmly talked. The patient kept on shouting, but when the physician didn't react, calmly responded, then slowly that patient also became calm and slowly said, okay, I understand. So that dialogue became a dialogue of understanding rather than a conflict. So same thing, if you can do that. In fact, Rudyard Kipling in one poem, he says, if you can keep your head about you, when everybody else is losing theirs, then you are a real man. I don't know if you have read that poem. I remember as a child we had read it, Rudyard Kipling's very famous poem. If you can keep your head about you when everybody is losing theirs, that is a real person, that is a real, you know, wise person. And that, yeah, it's a good point. Thank you.
Because a lot of times, when you, let's say when situation arises, and if someone, let's say, falls down at your workplace, or some major heart attack happens to somebody, and everyone's all of a sudden jumping, getting to panic mode or whatnot, and no one knows what to do. But if you, at that time, if you keep yourself calm,
mm-hmm.
instead of aggravating the whole situation,
right.
That helps a lot too.
True.
Because otherwise you become part of that whole mm-hmm. chaos.
Absolutely.
And you realize if you can do that when you're a teenager.
Yes.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. Right.
Oh.
Because again, they are also looking for some stability, some discipline, even when they are revolting. If you fight back or attack them, then it becomes a conflict. But if you calmly understand and explain the situation, you can diffuse that, you know, same thing. It's how you react, you know, it's whether you act or you react. One is you act, do what is right. Another one is react to a situation, and that's when the problems arise.
I think when you start ignoring it, it's not going to affect you. They're shouting and screaming at you and saying, why I want this and why I didn't get this, and I know you don't understand you because you don't know anything and you're not young. In your days things were so easy, in my days the things are hard. I just yes.
Yeah, do not engage.
You don't care, right?
Yeah, you don't engage. Just don't engage.
That's what I say.
Actually, there was a saying. This person said that the youth of today are very disrespectful and don't listen to their elders. You know who said that? A philosopher said that in ancient Egypt, 2,000 years before Christ. He said the youth of today don't listen to their elders and they're very disrespectful. This was said 2,000 years before Christ. So, nothing has changed. I have that quotation actually. If you want, I'll send it to you. But that's exactly what he said. He said the youth of today are terrible. They have no respect.
In our household is now my granddaughter. She says, "You don't care, do you?" Yeah. Whenever I say something, you don't care. You know, I just laugh about it. And plus, you don't know anything anyway. You're not young, so you don't. I just, yeah, you're right.
That's the best way.
I'm mad because I'm not responding. I'm like,
right.
Losing my cool. I'm not. And I just laugh about it. Yeah. I wouldn't have done that if I wasn't coming here. I would be, you know, like, God, I'm known as a tiger, you know?
Thank you. <buddy.
laughs> but I would not. But this has affected me.
That's true. No, this knowledge does.
It has helped me a lot. I'm very grateful for that. I have five brothers, naturally I have to defend myself, being with the boys. So I was another boy, and you know, I did the plain heavy thing, did the same thing, and then I, you know, gradually I realized, of course, by coming here, and before that also I could try to change myself the way how to
Yep, yeah, dealing with whole life.
Dealing with the whole life, you're absolutely right.
It's very, this book is, if we study in detail, there's a lot in it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, you know, very abstract, but when you go into it, there are so many things that can come out of that, so many ideas. You know, you just have to. Then I listen to commentaries by other teachers, and you know, think about it a little myself. So all that together, that happens. Anything else you would like to add?
No, just, you know, I like coming.
Thank you. Tony, good. Tony, anything else? Any questions? So today we can meditate on Om. We'll chant Om. And then as we chant Om, pay attention to the gap in between the Oms. And pay attention to the silence. And then that silence I am. So go from the noise to the silence, to the gap, to the, and go inward. And that silence I am, that peace I am, that is how we'll practice. So we'll chant Om three times loudly. Loudly means where your neighbor can hear it. And then pay attention to the silence gap in between the Oms. Then three times we'll whisper. And then after that, chant Om mentally in your mind. And then slowly go into that inner silence, that inner peace. And that silence you can reproduce throughout the day as often as you can. Eyes closed. Back is erect, but not stiff. Back is erect, but relaxed. Relax the body from head to toe. Relax every part of the body. Pay attention to each part and relax. Having reached the toes, once you reach, then slowly move back to the head. And again, relax each part. My whole body is completely relaxed. Now observe the breath. Watch the air as it moves in and out. Do not control or regulate. Just watch. Breathe normally with attention. Body remains relaxed. I'm just watching my breath. Thank you. Now we'll chant Om 3 times audibly and pay attention to the gap in between the Oms. Om. And 3 times we'll whisper. Now continue to chant Om mentally in your mind, slowly lengthening the silence. And the mind becomes quiet, then go deep within that silence. Experience that inner peace, that inner joy. I am that silence. I am that peace. I am that immortal spirit. That is ever peaceful, that is ever joyful. I am not this body, mind, intellect. I am not the breath. I am not the objects, emotions, or thoughts. But I am that pure spirit. Keep chanting Om and turn your attention to that inner self, the consciousness, which is my real nature. wanders, slowly bring it back to the subject. I am that. Stay with that understanding. I am. I alone exist as this whole universe. Let us stay with that thought.